Before Abraham was, I am.
In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Ave Maria.
Come now to Passiontide, the last 2 weeks of Lent. So Lent, in a strict sense, of course, is over. But don't worry, we have 2 weeks of Passiontide. So first Passion Sunday today. Next Sunday, of course, second Passion Sunday, commonly known as Palm Sunday. Today in the liturgy, it provides, as it were, a preview of coming attractions, if you can say it in that kind of base way. But so I thought we'd just follow the order of the Divine Liturgy today in the readings, and we'll look just quick preview of Good Friday, then Holy Thursday, we'll back up, and then Holy Saturday. Obviously, the whole theme of the liturgy, the focus, the next 2 weeks is exclusively on the Passion of our Lord. No Saints' Day can be celebrated, etc. And so even that's one of the reasons, the veiling of the statues, etc. It's all to focus us exclusively now on the Passion of our Lord. So Good Friday. Where do we see Good Friday in the liturgy today? Let's look at the epistle to the Hebrews. Christ our High Priest, neither by the blood of goats or bull calves, but by his own blood, entered once for all into the holy place, having wrought our eternal redemption. That's obviously Good Friday. Many beautiful things are there. The Old Covenant or Testament is being contrasted with the New Covenant and the New Testament. Remember, Christ said many times that he did not come to destroy the law or to destroy the Old Covenant or Testament, but rather to fulfill it. To fulfill it in a way which completely unprecedented and not able to be seen by even the greatest of the prophets and patriarchs. You notice in that little list of animal sacrifices that Christ said he did not enter the temple by, you do not find, it's a double negative, you do not find a lamb mentioned. Well, let's look at it again. Christ did not enter by the blood of goats or of little bull calves. Later he says, or by mature bulls or even little girl calves, little heifers. So he enlists four different species, you could say. But the letter to the Hebrews doesn't mention the lamb. Obviously, you can connect the dots there. The reason it's not mentioned is because the sacred writer is recalling to your mind that Christ did enter the holy place once and for all by the blood of a lamb. Not a lamb which is here today and gone tomorrow, but by the Lamb of God, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, as the Easter Vigil will say. So that's the little preview of Good Friday. There's much richness in the epistle. I invite you to study it today. Point two, Holy Thursday, just a little preview. Well, if the Old Covenant is abolished, rather fulfilled, what does it look like? Well, you know already. Christ anticipates, the fathers love this, St. Thomas Aquinas and the Summa in particular, knowing the horror, as it were, of Good Friday, Christ anticipates the resurrection with Holy Thursday, right? the blood and the flesh that Christ gives his apostles at the institution of the Holy Eucharist on Holy Thursday. He didn't pluck it off of his body and give it to them, right? That would be in the mode of the old covenant or the old sacrifice, which the priest very much did all day, slaughtering lambs and bulls and goats in the court. Wow. Christ anticipates the resurrection in order to get his little church through the Passion and Holy Saturday. Without the Holy Eucharist at the beginning, they never would have made it. So Christ anticipates his resurrection, and of course it's his resurrected body and blood, soul and divinity, the same, not changed. Well, maybe soul at the light of glory, okay. His resurrected body and blood, soul, same unchanged divinity, that he shares with the apostles on Holy Thursday. This, of course, is our communion verse today from St. Paul's classic passage, the one that's used in almost all of the institution narratives, the words of consecration in the Divine Liturgy. St. Paul quoting what he had received. St. Paul writes this, again, in the words of Christ, "This body, which is given for you, is the chalice of the new covenant, the New Testament, in my blood, says the Lord. Do this as often as you drink it in commemoration of me." Those words of institution, as they're called in the technical jargon, of course, are the ones that Christ himself spoke at the Last Supper. So even on this Passion Sunday, where things are the liturgy is a bit muted, the Gloria Patri has been suppressed in three places, the image is veiled, still, it's not the time of sadness in the sense of woe is me, but a time to get rid of distractions and non-essential things, which most of us are, so we can focus on the gift of the Lord. Unlike the priests of old, the old covenant, who had to stand there all day, very long, slaughtering animal victims, in Latin, ostia, sacrificial animal victim, ostia. Christ sacrificed not something external to himself, which you could buy at the store, but himself. Christ is the priest, and Christ is the victim. That's why we sing that beautiful hymn, O Salutaris Ostia, O Saving Sacrificial Victim. So much better is the gift of Christ than any other animal that you could have sacrificed. He sacrifices himself in an unbloody and perfect manner in the Blessed Eucharist. This brings us to point three, Holy Saturday. We have this indicated or hinted at in today's gospel. There's this controversy. You've noticed, you very astute ones, you've noticed that the last 10 days of the Divine Liturgy have been almost exclusively chosen from St. John's Gospel. Why? Many reasons, but St. John has the fullest account, right? Our Lord's public ministry in St. John's Gospel is 3 different years, 3 different Passovers. The synoptics compress everything and put it, as it were, into 1 year, 1 Passover, at any rate. Today, Christ in the Gospel today begins to, as we would say in our modern English, push back a bit on the temple priests. Probably Sadducees today, maybe also Pharisees, but Sadducees. Why do I say that? Remember the 2 groups of the Sanhedrin, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The Sadducees, more rationalistic, they denied the resurrection of the body. They said, there is no such thing. You're dead, it's the end. So perhaps the Sadducees today in the gospel accuse Christ and said to him, what is this about Abraham? Abraham and the prophets are dead. Christ says, well, really? And yea, Christ says, on the other hand, Abraham rejoiced that he might see my day. He saw it and was glad. Wow. It's one of those salient passages from the gospel which literally, well, not literally, but it blows your mind, right? You think, what does this even mean? And what could the people to whom Christ said the words, what could it have meant to them? How could they have understood it? They couldn't have understood it. We can barely understand it, right? So what does this mean? Well, many things. Abraham and the prophets are not dead. Point one. They're very much alive. Remember, Christ said, God is not the God of the dead. He's the God of the living. So, God has created the soul to be eternal. Once it comes into being, it lasts forever. That's by the divine power. It's a gift of God. There's no reason that it should be that way in the sense of a contingent reason. It's because of the will of God. So all of the souls that have ever come into being are still in being. That's a big thought. So Abraham and the prophets are not dead, point one. So how do we understand this? Abraham saw my day. He rejoiced that he might see it. He saw it and was glad. Well, there could be many different ways to take it. I'll just offer this one, well, maybe two. So think of Holy Saturday. Holy Saturday, Christ, as our divine and Catholic faith teaches us, a dogma, you have to believe this, Christ descended into the realm of the departed. Sheol, if you will, or the realm of shades, the realm of the departed, where all the spirits of the human beings who had died, their bodies were dead, but their souls very much alive. So whatever that is, the bosom of Abraham, as it's called in traditional scriptural exegesis, Christ goes to that realm and preaches the gospel of himself to all of the departed spirits. Think of Abraham, the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, of course, in the first place, Adam and Eve. Okay, we're going off too far. So that the day of the Lord in St. John's gospel is always the day of the resurrection. In St. John's gospel, it's very liturgically astute. The hour of the Lord is the hour of the passion, even at the wedding of Cana. Woman, my hour is not come, passion. The day of the Lord is unequivocally, unambiguously, the day of the resurrection. So Christ is saying to the Sadducees, who don't even believe in the resurrection of the dead, he's saying, Abraham rejoiced. He did see my day. He rejoiced and was glad. Holy Saturday. So how can Christ say, well, again, he's prophesying, right? So Christ is priest, prophet, and king, all of those things. So Christ, by his divine power, of course, is in time, but also outside of time because of his divinity. So he has a very unique relationship to time. So Christ, seeing all things that ever were, all things that ever are, or all things that ever will be, all as just one moment in the divine mind, can say in full truth, Abraham saw my day of resurrection. He saw it and was glad. It's very beautiful. And then at the very end of the gospel, of course, just in case there was any lingering doubt what Christ was saying, he says, oh, by the way, before Abraham was created, came into being, ego sum, in Latin, Greek, ego eimi, I am. Wow. What a reaction he got. Why? Because the ego eimi, the I am, of course, is the divine title, the divine name that God revealed to Holy Father Moses, Exodus chapter 3, in the burning bush. Right? So Christ there is claiming his divinity, obviously, but in a very kind of, well, pharisaical way. It's kind of clever at any rate. So those are our previews. Those are, of course, things that you already know, the mysteries of Holy Thursday, the Passion of Holy Friday, and our Lord's descent into the realm of the departed Holy Saturday. So you know these things, and this is the time not just to know them. We don't need to be reminded. We need to enter into them more fully. So that's what this time is for. God bless you. And